Hello, gosh, it's a bad start. My voice freaked out there. Hello and welcome to episode 84 of whatever. I'm back on the solo episodes. It's been hot minute since I've done a solo episode. We're in it, man. We're in it. We always like to start out with some good news. So the good news of this week is I just shifted positions in one of my jobs. That I'm very excited about. It's not full time, but it's really good experience and it's going to look great on the resume. So, maybe I'll be able to move up with that company. I'd love to be able to move up with that company. But if not, then, it's great experience that I can show on my resume to whatever company will take me full time. So, we're still working our way up into the marketing world. It's difficult, difficult gig to get into, It's tough, but we keep trying. Let's just hop into the topics here. And speaking of resumes, as I was just talking about, I can't stand when companies do this. Okay, I don't get it. I really, really don't get it. When companies ask you to apply, the very first thing that you're going to usually see is a spot where it says upload your resume. And so you click it, you upload the resume. Resume's in there. And the resume has all of your information, your name, your address, your phone number, all of your work history, your education experience, and your skills. At least it should, right? If your resume is good, it should have all that. Mine has all that. And it's everything that the employer needs to know about me at face value in terms of me being a potential employee for them, right? Companies, if I give you my resume off rip and I have to scroll down and see, please enter your personal information and your employment history. Dude, do you know how much I no longer want to apply to your company? Like, what am I doing here? What was the purpose of the resume? Why am I sitting here filling out all this information for like an hour when you have all that information in my resume that you asked for? And look, I'm not sitting here trying to complain about it, okay? It's not a huge deal. I'm just saying, from the standpoint of being a logical person that I am, why are you asking for something that has all my information and then I give it to you, has all my information that you need, and then I give it to you, and then you ask me, once knowing I have given it to you, then you ask me, give me all that information again. Why? What if actually you left me alone though, right? What if actually you took my resume, read it, and then decided whether or not you wanted to do an interview? Now, a lot of people don't want to interview me, it seems. Unfortunate, but that's the realm of marketing right now. But dude, I'm just saying, make the process easier on literally both of us. And if you receive my resume, don't ask me for all the other information. Because then you don't have to read stuff twice. Okay? You just have the resume. Probably much easier to read than going through all of the filled out information. Okay? And then I don't have to sit there for an hour filling out stuff that I already filled out on another document months ago. That's all I'm saying. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. And that's all I ask. So yeah, I really don't know why companies do that, because then I'm just like, what was the point of the resume? What? It's all in there. It is all in there. Trust me, everything you need to know about me as a potential employee is in that document. You just read it, you got yourself an employee, dog. Okay. Anyways. So moving on. J-Lo's being weird, huh? J-Lo? Jennifer Lawrence? Or Jennifer Lopez? Whoops, wrong Jenny. Dude, what is happening? Okay. Every time I look on TikTok, like just every once in a while, you know, I'll pop in, see what's happening, see if I can get some giggles, right, out of TikTok. Every time I look, somebody is bashing J-Lo for being weird. Now, look, I don't want to bash her. I don't want to bash her. I'm just saying, I don't understand what she's doing at all, though. Because it's probably one of the strangest things I've ever seen a celebrity do. And that's saying something, because celebrities do weird things all of the time. But look, basically, J-Lo has, she made this documentary about herself, I think. Or like she commissioned somebody to make a documentary about her. I don't know exactly how it works, but I know there's a documentary happening about her. And then she also made like a Hollywood level musical movie about herself / her love life. And I think it's called The Greatest Love Story Ever Told or something like that. I'm not going to look it up because I don't care. but dude, in the documentary, from the clips we've seen, and she also did a 73 questions with Vogue, right? In both of those documentary and the 73 questions, you can see her desperately trying to be relatable in some way. And I don't know why. And look, I'm not here to say, oh, celebrities can't be relatable. I really don't care. I'm just saying, for me, I don't know why she's trying so hard to be relatable. If I was J-Lo level famous, dude, I would do literally everything in my power to constantly show that I can't be relatable, because I think that's hilarious. And I'm not saying like, oh, look at these poor people. So much better than them. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I would just buy stupid stuff. Not even like private jets, right? I don't want to like flex my money. I would just buy dumb stuff that people don't even know about, but I know about it because I have a lot of money and I know it exists. And then they would be like, what? That, like, that's funny to me, is like, because there's a certain level of money that you can get to where you start realizing that, oh, stuff exists and nobody else knows about it because they don't have enough money. And again, I'm not trying to say I would flex my money and be like, I'm richer than you, you know, get out of my sight or whatever. I'm saying, like, I would just want to be able to discover stuff that other people don't know about. And then I would tell them about, I would buy it, and then I would tell everyone else about it, because I think that would be funny and cool. And it would make me completely unrelatable, but that's okay, right? Because who cares about being relatable at the end of the day? It doesn't matter, honestly. It really doesn't. I feel like the only upside of being relatable is that relatability can bring along like really good humor. Relatability humor is really good, really funny, usually. I think that's the only upside. Otherwise, relatability just kind of turns into, for me at least, it just feels like trying to appease everybody and be like, hey, I'm just like you, like me. And it's like, that's for me at least. Maybe I got deeper issues and problems that I need to work out in therapy, but you know, that's just my thoughts on it. I feel like relatability is boring, really, is what I'm trying to get at. Just, you know, who cares about being relatable? But anyways, back to J-Lo. She's desperately trying to be relatable in this documentary and in the 73 questions or whatever. And we're going to watch a couple of clips from those. But here's the thing. J-Lo, you're probably the least relatable person on the planet right now. Probably. At least one of them, right? Kanye is probably up there. You know, I could think of a few celebrities. Taylor Swift, can't relate to her at all, right? Because she's had, I don't know, God knows how many boyfriends. I've had zero because I'm not into dudes. and she's like, I actually looked it up one day because I was curious, like, who the most famous people in the world are. She is, by Google standards, the sixth famous, most famous person in the world right now. An absolute billionaire. And just selling out stadiums for her concerts. So, you know, congrats. I mean, big ups. I don't really care about her music. But, you know, she's doing it. So, props. Game recognized game, even though I don't have the same game as she does because broke. But, dude, J-Lo, you're not relatable at all. You're super rich. You've been in tons of movies that have done really well. You have, I would say a successful music career, but I couldn't name one of her songs, honestly. But I know a lot of people have listened to her music. She literally played Selena in the movie Selena. That's huge. Or was it a TV show? Who cares? I don't know. You know, she's got a freaking mansion. And she has enough money to go ahead and make a movie musical about her own love life, where she tried to invite a bunch of her famous friends and literally 95% of them said no, which is kind of funny, but also sad a little bit. But she has a bunch of famous friends that she could just contact by phone, right? And the movie musical that she made about herself, that is high quality, actually, like in terms of visuals and in production rate, production value, the movie itself, I've heard, is trash. The movie is about her and her very famous actor husband, Ben Affleck, and their love story. And it's the greatest love story ever told, but it's not, because I've only heard bad things about it. How can you expect to be relatable when you're doing that, J-Lo? Come on, J-Lo. 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 Come on. It's fine. You don't have to be relatable. You won, dude. You won. You're rich. You won. You're fine. You're doing great in life for yourself, okay? It's all good. Don't worry about it. But yeah, here. Let me play something from the 73 questions real quick here. Good, dude. I got to sit through 30 seconds of unskippable ads first, though, because on YouTube, and YouTube is an absolute cesspit of advertisements now. It's absolutely out of control. Come on. Let's move along. Okay, this one I can skip at least. Hold on. Here we go. Almost. Sorry about that. All right. So this is the opening.
Great to see you, Jennifer Lopez.
Hey.
What a dream. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you to answer 73 questions today?
10.
I knew it. And I'm excited to be here in LA.
Look, first of all, oh my. There's something about watching a 73 questions that is just the most insincere thing of all time. The interviewer, he's there, you know, trying to make his bag. These celebrities, they don't want another person in their house randomly, but Vogue was like, hey, can we do this with you? And they're like, how much are you going to pay me? Vogue probably pays them out the butt for these videos, for sure. But dude, I hate how fake friendly they are in these videos
with you. Thanks for having me. What would you say is the biggest difference between here and the Bronx?
The size of my closet.
Also the size of your house. Also the fact that it's LA and that's a completely different city from the Bronx. What do you mean? Dude, that's where it starts, right? That weird that weird need to be relatable, right? Dude, the size of my closet? You live in a mansion, though. Last time I checked, there's no mansions in the Bronx. That's pretty different. This is, like, real different. Yeah, you got multiple bedrooms.
And what's one word to describe the Bronx?
Cool.
Very cool.
Oh, so not creative. Dude, what's one word to describe the city you're from? Cool. Okay, can you give me a little more? Can you elaborate, perhaps? Play.
Come on in.
All right, thank you. What would you say is the biggest impact that New York has had on you?
It's made me who I am.
And what was your go-to order at the bodega?
My go-to order at the bodega was ham and cheese on a roll with an orange drink, if you know, you know, and a small bag of chips.
Okay, so that's a big clip that's been going around. And bodegas are pretty popular in New York, especially areas like the Bronx, right? It's like little gas station spots that, you know, make food. New Yorkers have been trashing her order because they're like, I've never seen somebody order a ham and cheese roll before. And the whole orange drink, if you know, you know thing. What do you mean if you know you? There's only a few orange drinks. One of them is orange juice. The other is Fanta. I can't think of another orange drink, honestly. Maybe mimosas, but that's still orange juice with alcohol in it. Can you think of any orange drinks? Maybe grapefruit juice, but that's gross. I hate grapefruit. Oh, it's so nasty, dude. I'm not going to get into it. Let me chill. Actually, it's red inside, I think. I don't remember. But dude, if you know, you know. We all know. We all know. Do you mean orange juice? Do you mean Fanta? Which one? There's only two to pick from. You don't have to say, if you know, you know. We know what orange drinks are. There's Orangina. Orangina. That's what I said. Orangina. Wow. A little bit of a stutter there, buddy. Chill out. Let me continue, though.
This sounds like the J-Lo special to me.
You want some tea?
I'd love some. Thank you. So everyone knows I'm walking here.
What? Okay, first of all, what is the, like, awkward cadence of this conversation? Sounds like the J-Lo special to me. Want some tea? What? Dude, if I was in Jennifer Lopez's house, first of all, I'd be like, why am I here, right? That's a good question. And then second of all, if she's telling me about her go-to bodega order, and then I was like, oh, sounds like the Jennifer Lawrence special to me, or Jennifer Lopez. What am I doing saying Jennifer Lawrence? Completely different woman. Jennifer Lopez. I'll say J-Lo. I'm going to just say J-Lo. Sounds like the J-Lo special to me. And then she looked at me dead in the eyes and immediately went, want some tea? First of all, no, because I hate tea. Second of all, have a more human response to what I just said. Want some tea? Dude, actually, never offer me tea. You know what? I'm stressed out now because, I don't know, I'm just being dramatic, but dude, I can't. I don't like tea. It's not good. It's just not good. It's never been good. It's never been good. It's only good if you put sugar in it and a bunch of other flavors that aren't good for you, okay? And then, hold on, let me rewind a little bit. Just a smidge.
Orange drink, if you know, you know.
No,
and
we all know.
A small bag of chips.
That sounds like the J-Lo special to me.
You want some tea?
So awkward.
I'd love some, thank you. So everyone knows, I'm walking here. What's something else that real New Yorkers say?
F*** you.
Okay, so rude. So rude. Yeah. I've met New Yorkers before. Not one of them has ever said F you just for fun, right? Just for giggles. So that's a lot. But you know, who cares, man? Just let me find the other thing real quick. Let me find the other thing. But yeah, dude, it's just like. Hold on. Let me find it. Good Lord. Interview Bronx. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. Here it is.
There's just more.
No.
I like taking my hair out like this. It reminds me like when I was 16 in the Bronx, running up and down the block. And crazy little girl who used to be wild and no limits, all dreams and
I mean, saying nothing. No limits, all dreams. Stop! What are you talking about, dude? Just... I think my thing is, this isn't even about J-Lo. I just can't stand when people are disingenuous. And it just rings through. It rings through at volume 10. Where it's just celebrities constantly have this weird thing where they want to be relatable. Most of them do. Some of them are absolutely on the highest heights of just doing stuff that you would never think of doing. Much like Kanye. He's had concerts and fashion shows that I don't think I could come up with in my mind if I tried. Not saying he's a genius, I'm just saying I would never think of those things, even if I was his level of rich, right? That's just an example. Not a Kanye fan. I don't, you know, let me be clear, okay? Because man said some real horrible stuff, okay? So not in support of him, but just an example, right? But there's a lot of celebrities out there I've seen where they have this weird thing where they want to be relatable, and it's like you just can't be. You're not relatable anymore. You're super rich and everyone knows you. And this is what J-Lo's doing. And it's just like I don't get it. Why try to be relatable? It doesn't matter, first of all, and it just doesn't make sense, because that whole thing is like, I like to take my hair out like this, it reminds me of when I was growing up in the Bronx, you know, that crazy little girl just running up and down the streets in the Bronx, you know, just full of, you know, no limits, all dreams. It's like, you got all of that from taking your hair out of a bun? Okay, sure, I guess. Why are you telling us about it in a documentary? just live your life. Just, I don't know, maybe it's the attention thing too. I don't know. I literally don't care. I really don't care about what she's doing or what she's saying. I honestly just find it hilarious. And I've spent way too much time talking about her. It's unbelievable. I've spent, almost 20 minutes talking about a woman that I actually don't care about. So that's a lot. So let's move on. But yeah, I think the whole thing is just hilarious and weird and strange. And that's it. That's all I'm going to say. But, and entertaining. But, if you guys are like fans of certain YouTubers like Cody Ko or whatever, I'm sure you've heard of the show The Moment of Truth now, where the YouTubers have watched the show a little bit and like laughed at it and have been like, what? This is crazy. And they react, right? But the premise of that show is genuinely insane because they somehow bring on the worst kind of people. Keep bumping the mic. Hold on, relax. Okay, let me just give you the premise of the show. Okay, so basically, there's these families that will come on the show, right? One family member will be in what they call the hot seat. I think that's what they call it, right? They'll be on a seat in the middle of the arena that they're in, where the show, right, where everybody's looking at them. And the host is sitting adjacent to them. There's a screen behind them that pulls up the questions that the host is going to read to this person. And the family of this person in the hot seat is sitting on a couch together, not 15 feet away from this person, right? Not more than 15 feet away. And basically, the person in the hot seat before the show airs, before the show is recorded and airs, they take a lie detector test where they're asked a bunch of questions. And they take a lie detector test. And then when they get on the show, the host asks the questions from the lie detector test. And the person in the hot seat has to answer the lie detector questions. Well, they have to answer the questions the host is asking truthfully in order to continue moving on in the show and winning more and more money. Each question is worth a certain amount of money. And if they continue to answer truthfully, they have a chance to win 500 grand, I think, or maybe a million, something like that. Big winnings, right? But the trick is the family is right in front of them, right? The family's right in front of them. And the questions start out pretty mundane. You know, it's like, did you ever steal anything or whatever? And it's like, yes. And then the PA system will go, that answer was true, right? And then the, you know, parents are like, oh, you know, we're a little bit disappointed, but whatever, we are going to win some money or whatever. The questions then get crazier and crazier and more relational. And one example was there was a woman in the chair, and her husband was on the couch with the rest of her family. And the questions got to, like, have you ever, you know, done anything with anyone while we were married? And then she answered yes. And he's just sitting there getting busted up inside. Just, oh my gosh, I'd crash out right there if that were me. But, and that show particularly, dude, the ex-boyfriend of the woman came out on stage and asked her personally, because the show invited him, asked her personally, have you ever wished we never broke up or something? Or have you ever wanted to get back together with me? And she said, yes. And then it came out true. Dude, how did they get away with it? How did the show exist? How did the show exist for as long as it did? How? Bro, early 2000s game shows were off the hinges. Just off every chain and every hinge that you could possibly find. They're off of it, okay? Like, dude. It's just, oh my gosh. That's, it leaves me speechless a little bit. Because I'm just like, how do you sit on the couch and find all these things about your loved one? And they go through it and they're just like, yep, I did that. Yep. And then all of a sudden they have $1 million. And then you're supposed to celebrate a big winning, big winnings like that. How are you going to celebrate now knowing that your wife cheated on you? And is now a millionaire because of it. Basically. I mean, it's a stretch to make those two connections. But basically, she won $1 million because she said she confessed cheating on you. Ooh. And guess what, dude? She's not giving you any of it, probably. So that sucks for that guy, probably. But, I don't know. Maybe in the divorce proceedings he can take some of the money or something. I don't know. That's so sad. I don't want to think about it. Divorce is horrible. got sad all of a sudden. Whoops. It's all good. But yeah. Well, we're at 30 minutes though. But yeah. Yeah, I've just been yapping about J-Lo pretty much the whole time. Whoops. Didn't really mean to, but she's been doing a whole lot of weird stuff and it's just hilarious, honestly. So had to throw my two cents in there just because I'm like, what is happening? But thank you guys for listening as always. I really appreciate it. It means a lot to me. And I hope you enjoy your day, your week, your month, your year, and the rest of your life. Peace out, homies.